Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome on a beautiful summer's day here in Colorado. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden on the Chuck and Julie Show, True Straight Up.
That's right. Brought to you in part by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice website you definitely want to check out. A lot of talk about today. We've got a grassroots warrior, Anil Mathai, standing or sitting by to talk about what has been increasingly obvious, I think, an attempt by the progressive left to target religion. And then if you haven't heard Joe Biden's latest comments about the need or lack of need for a cognitive test, called the reporter a junkie, which was kind of an odd comment. We got that. We got Trump on the whole mask thing. I don't know. I got
Sally Yates was before the Senate committee giving some interesting answers, though they didn't nail her down. It's amazing how slippery these Justice Department people are.
Yes, they are.
Incredible stuff. And the other sponsor is Synergetics. We'll talk about in a little while.
All right. So, Anil, if you want to go ahead and bring up your video and audio, and I understand that you're in a tornado. So if you have to break, so where are you? Now where we are in Westminster, it's just muggy and sunny. Not so where you are, huh?
No, it's pouring here near I-70 in Peoria. So,
okay. Well, thank you for taking the time to be on the show. I wanted to talk to you.
Well, Anil's a former chairman of the Adams County GOP and a real stalwart and a hero to a lot of people.
Us included.
And us included, yeah.
And Anil, you've had, you have many great, if people aren't friends with Anil on Facebook, go ahead and flood him with friend requests because he has great posts. But you had one just after this weekend when you had a church service. Why don't you talk about that and also what you really think is going on there?
Yeah, Sunday, I've been going to a new small church. It's a little bit more inner city in the western part of Denver. And, you know, it's a small congregation. It's not too many people. They've never really shut down through this whole COVID. The pastor is about, 67 years old. He is, at the age of 17 or 18, he was in the jungles of Vietnam fighting. And he said, what am I going to let a virus scare me compared to what he has faced in Vietnam? So you can tell the kind of leadership, he's not afraid. And so, we've been meeting here and there. This Sunday was kind of interesting, and I don't know all the backgrounds about it, but there was someone that came in, it looked kind of odd, nice shirt and everything like that. And during the prayer service at 10 o'clock is not that many people there. Everyone separated, social distancing, whatever you want to call it. And just, he kept on talking louder and louder about, people are not wearing masks and these kind of issues. And he had mentioned, and he's in the foyer and he's saying this loud while people are actually praying and he's interrupting the service. And, he mentioned also, I've been to two or three churches and, last week in the same situation. And it's an interesting thing. I had gotten up and to close the door and say, you're welcome to come in here and have join us in our prayer meeting before service starts at 11 o'clock. Or if you can wait till 11 o'clock, then, come on in. But I had to close the door. It is loud and it's interrupting people praying. Didn't like that. I assumed that he was going to come back to the 11 o'clock service in a few minutes and he didn't show up. I don't know the background or anything like that, but it was interesting to evaluate that because, he had said he had gone to two or three other churches. Maybe he went to go and visit. I don't know. But the interesting thing was the mask issue was what he talked about from those two or three other churches and also this time. And
right.
With Denver here, recently going through different businesses and shutting them down and establishments that have beer or whatever alcohol service after 10 o'clock and shutting them down and all this other stuff. We're in a dangerous point. I've been to communist Cuba before. I've been to communist China before. And if those who have never been to these communist countries have to understand something, there's spies all over the place from your hotel room and in the airport. And it seems like, you know, people used to laugh at people with conspiracy theories and paranoia, but I'm telling you, with people wearing masks and throwing a mace at people's faces, like in San Diego that happened at that park, and woman throwing coffee at someone not wearing a mask, where our hysteria and paranoia that the political left, the communists, are doing is upping the ante here in pushing communism forward. And I'm telling churches, you keep on being quiet, and you did this for a while. Evil doesn't run away from you just because you appease it. It comes at you because it wants to destroy you. And I think a lot of people just need to understand Neville Chamberlain and his stupidity when he met Hitler, thought he could appease. But it's starting to be more and more. And I think if I was on their side and had an evil mentality, destructive mentality, I'd be going to more and more churches and just trying to see if I could shut them down.
Well, you know, you're right about that. I mean, the city of Denver, Mayor Hancock announced he's going to enhance the punishment of people not wearing masks. I saw a thing, Phil Weiser, the Democrat AG, has issued a few dozen cease and desist citations. Of course, none of them against any of the protest organizers, right? No. None, they aren't getting any kind of cease and desist orders, just churches. And I wanted to ask you a couple things, Aniel. So this is a small church. Let me just ask this. This was a small church, right? And so I imagine most of the people there knew each other. So this guy, he was not a regular, right, who was simply expressing a concern. This guy was a stranger who came to this church, right?
That is correct, yes.
Okay.
Well, why do you think there is such a tepid and fearful response here in Colorado, and really across the country? I mean, there is almost no pushback. The establishment Republicans in the state are in a rabbit hole. Some great ones like Patrick Neville is fighting the mask mandate, and there are a few others, but it's just amazing to watch the supine kind of quality at a time in which, if you follow the death totals in Colorado, one a day, two a day. I mean, more
those
people,
are gunshot wounds.
Yeah, gunshot wounds. More people die of hangnail in Colorado. And yet we watch all our liberties evaporate, watch them go on a jihad or whatever it's called against churches who seem to be almost terrified to organize and stand up. I mean, this. Almost nationally, we seem to have a rabid Democratic side and a very passive Republican side.
Yeah, and I think, Chuck, you and Julie have talked about this for a while, and I think we're all on the same page here for years. I think really the root issue here is people are fearful of other people because of one thing. They're afraid of losing their security, which is their finances.
Right.
And that is churches. These people, they know exactly what they're trying to do here when they try to shame you online and those kind of issues.
Right.
So churches basically are being exposed now. Not all, but majority have been exposed as completely weak and cowardly because they were really, it's all about the money. And the same thing with the businesses. I mean, I have copies. I'm the weird one. I read bills, and I have Polis's executive order, which keeps on being extended with the other orders.
It never... 2024 now, practically, you know?
It never stops. There's always an extension. But the weird thing is, if you look at the way he set up the regulatory wording in there, I mean, that's the threat. The fear is you lose your license.
Right.
The fear is he knows it's unconstitutional, unenforceable. So what he does is, well, you know, private businesses who's basically, they can go in there and charge you with trespassing. That's where they get the people without the mask if they want to push that. But I think it's backfiring on businesses across the board, because if you really study history and learn about 1930s Germany early on, you've had Mercedes-Benz who supported Hitler. You had a whole bunch of German industry support. I mean, of course, he nationalized them, but the brown shirts could not be successful without two things. One is the money coming into their accounts to help them fund their terror, the National Socialists. And the second thing is Hitler said, first of all, I'm going to do this. I'm going to shut down the churches. And you can preach about whatever you want. You can talk about Jesus all you want, but you keep them inside the church. The moment you come outside is where I'll take care of you. And that's where 80% of the church fell in line under a thing called Romans 13 and scripture saying, oh, I have to submit to authority. And there's a verse in there that says, you don't submit to those who are a terror to good. You submit to those who are a terror to evil. And so what we have here across the board is fear, Chuck. And people have
two
to
other
realize
forces.
That they're being exposed.
Yeah, two other forces in 1930. Germany that allowed the Nazis to take over. One was the judiciary, who did not protect any of the rights of people, which they're doing here. You know, Roberts ruling in the Nevada case, you know, supine judiciary was supposed to be independent, but it's only independent if they don't like Trump. And the second one was the media. Any outlets were shut down that didn't follow the Nazi creed. Well, we don't have the government shutting them down. We have the forces of them shutting down, like, you know, like our show, but many other shows, many other
ones. We know talk show hosts who
are terrified.
They're just terrified. Yeah. Let me, before we go I want to play the video, though.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Let me, Anil, I want to play some video. I don't know if you can see it, because I went through, because I think that this attack on religion, that this is part of a bigger strategy. They didn't start here, right? They started with racial injustice, right? Nobody likes that. But then they start tearing down statues. Now they're attacking religion. And so Thomas at BBS, if you guys could roll the Bible burning video. These are Bibles being burned in Portland and then in other locations, a giant stack of Bibles. And just take a look at this video. And I apologize, they're swearing in it too. But this is a stack of Bibles being burned. They're shouting Black Lives Matter. And in a second here, they're going to start dancing around the fire. So these are people dancing in front of a stack of Bibles being burned. Now, this next little segment is just the other day in Portland. This kid is setting fire to, and they're pretending they're warming their hands in front of a fire.
That's another Bible.
It's another Bible. And then they put a flag on it. And they're shouting F Trump while they're burning this. Mm-hmm. And then here in a second, they put one of the blue line flags in there, police, pro-police flag. So, Neil, my question to you is, what do you think? I mean, there is no correlation between Trump, like Trump or don't like Trump, but burning a Bible, I think that this is part of a much bigger progressive strategy that they have. What do you think?
I agree. I think there's two things here. I mean, whenever, you know, you follow history, and history repeats itself if people don't learn their lesson the first time. One is we have a need to shut down the churches, because if you shut down the churches, you destroy families, you remove law and order and those kind of issues. The communists need a place of lawlessness to grow. That's how they come in and step in and control. These are not progressives. I mean, I don't want to use that word anymore. These people are destructive. They're not trying to progress human society. They're trying to take us off a cliff. And so, and the majority of these BLM protesters are 5 out of 6, according to reports, are white.
Exactly.
It's interesting. And their colleagues.
And mainly women, usually women.
Yes, yes. And so what's happening here across the board, this is a system to try to undermine one of it. A lot of this COVID issue in general, a lot of it's driven to try to influence the presidential election. That's number one. But I think there's a deeper thing here. There's a lot of anger and there's a lot of hopelessness. And that has all been caused by Democrat politicians. And they are destroying their own cities. But they don't care. They think that, you know, I'm glad what the president did do is not give Minnesota a dime for them destroying their own city. That's awesome, because they thought their FEMA was going to give them cash, and, you know, for destroying. So I think in general, this is a spiritual issue. This is a national issue. But coming back to the root issue of churches and businesses, if people don't stand up, if individuals don't stand up, all it takes is a small, aggressive minority of individuals to bring destruction. You know, the brown shirts were not the majority. Hitler did in 1933. He did not win a majority of the population vote for chancellor. And so people need to understand that.
Well, and you know, one thing I'd say too is, you know, when I was a TV reporter for like 30 years, interviewed a lot of people, a lot of criminals. And I didn't used to believe this, but having talked to people and seen some of the things that happen in this world, I believe that there is actually such a force as evil. Yes. And I think that if you don't take care, evil can infiltrate. And when regular people turn a blind eye to the torching of churches, to the burning of Bibles, to, people dancing. I mean, that almost looks like some kind of bizarre pagan ritual, right? We're dancing to the burning of Bibles. And now maybe the individuals involved in that are just going along with peer pressure because they think it's cool. But the forces behind it, I believe, are motivated by an evil force. I really believe that. And I think if people, regular people like you and like us, don't stand up and say, you can't burn a Bible. You can't tell me that I can go into a pot shop, I can go into a casino, but I cannot go into church and pray. And if you send your spies into church to come find us and try to close us down, we're going to stand up.
They're supported by the U.S. Supreme Court, a 5-4 majority of the U.S. Supreme Court. And people do not respond to cowardice. And somehow on the right, whether it was in the 60s and 70s with the quote unquote silent majority, well, the key to that word is silent. If the churches in the metropolitan area that don't go along with the agenda continue to shut up and cower and think that they can survive the coming storm, they're betraying their children and betraying their country.
I agree, Chuck, and that's the problem here. I think people, if you wanted to know that the 2020 would expose individuals as either brave or cowards, this was the year, right? And we can't be silent. And the problem is a lot of children, grandchildren are basically saying, what is our parents and our grandparents doing? They're just afraid. And I think, people have to understand something. You have to live for something. And you can't live against the fear of man. So people have to stand up and put everything, just like our founding fathers did, put everything on the line and say, what exactly are you fighting against? You're exactly right, Julie. This is a spiritual issue also. And it's satanic, and you can't rationalize with these people. You can't think with these people. They are destructive. There's a scripture, if you don't deal, have honor with your parents and honor law enforcement and those kind of issues. And I got the bad apples here and there. Right. I got that. But in general, if you don't deal with that and you're not a person of good moral character and respect law and authority, you're going to end up dead if you're not careful. That's where this is ultimately going to go. And so I think people need to stand up now. There's no excuse not to stand up. And,
As I said, we see that church in LA and your friend and woman we know too, used to work with her at KNUS, Jenna Ellis. God bless Jenna Ellis for where she's going these days. But she is joining and helping a Los Angeles church fight Governor Newsom's battles. And, who knows?
I'm glad there's another attorney involved.
There you go. There may be more attorneys.
Well, some good ones are always helpful in this life.
whatever we can do to fight, that's the thing here. It's just, I think what's happening here is we're finding out who the true patriots are. We're finding out who the true Christians are. We are finding out who's willing to fight. You guys, you guys were at the police rally, and I saw the updates to the reports that you've given. Praise God. Thank America that you guys were there. There were people there. Even if it was outnumbered, you were there to stand up for law enforcement. Right. What's happening is we need to pray for our law enforcement because this is upside down. You guys were there to support them, and you didn't get the support. So we got to flip this upside down because it's gone crazy. And if people continue to be quiet, they're going to be pushed into a corner where they can't respond anymore. And that's the problem.
And I think, like I said, I think that there is a strategy here. I mean, they didn't start out with burning Bibles, right? Because, that might not have gone over very well in soccer mom territory, right? They start out with, Black Lives Matter and the George Floyd thing, which granted was bad. It's hard to argue with that. But they have moved worse and worse and worse. And again, there is no correlation, really, when you think about it, between George Floyd and burning the Bible. I mean,
Well, one time back, at least in the 80s, Pat Robertson and other Christian leaders did take political stances. I see very little of that. I see very little of organized effort by religious people to fight back. And it's I guess it's just human nature. But
at that time when Pat Robertson, all of them were moving forward, there was a certain level of church leadership, whether it was Protestant or Catholic, that understood that you had to influence society. And that's even the Great Commission from Scripture. Jesus says, go out and influence, make disciples. But what's happening is the younger generation, Chuck, they've been caught up in the social justice movement and those kind of activities. And so they don't see Scripture being as an influence on the community. So it will easily fall in line with whatever's coming out of university saying, hey, this is the best way to help society. In fact, so that's why it's getting more and more, these Christians are becoming, quote, woke, end quote, because they don't understand their founding principles, the Bibles, and those kind of issues. So it is getting more and more tough, but still those who understand still need to stand up and fight. And I'm with you guys. I mean, even the Republican Party, where have they been in the last couple of months? I mean, Patrick Neville, awesome. You know, Randy right. and others fighting back. But you just saw here in Colorado, as I've said for years, remember, they took an attack against me. They've gone against you guys, everybody. Right. But we have seen them clearly through the fight. They have not shown up. The Republicans have failed. And we have seen the churches have failed. The president is trying to fight back, and I give him so yeah. much credit for doing this. But right. where are the fighters here? That's the question. Our children and grandchildren are not trying to find out.
We have a senatorial candidate that only wants to talk about the Great Outdoors Act. I mean, you just go, you're not involved in the passions.
Do you have any time?
I mean, you just
anything to say about this whole
thing?
I could see even if Cory Gardner wanted to. But you'd think that somebody like that could say, hey, look, we don't need to burn Bibles. You know, you may not believe in the Bible. I mean, can you imagine, you know, what if they were out there burning the Quran, right? I mean, I imagine you know, a different kind of reaction, which is ridiculous.
Well, the only one with any guts other than Patrick Neville is Real Lauren Bobbitt. I mean, you know, I just.
Ken Buck.
Ken Buck is trying. Ken Buck is trying. But, you know.
Well, I mean, just ask any wife. If someone's trying to break into your house, and your husband runs in a corner and doesn't defend, I'm pretty sure the wife has no respect. You know, ask the children, if someone's trying to harm the family and the daddy is not there to protect the family. You know, these are the times when we find out what people stand for and what they're willing to fight for. And if they're quiet, like I've told many people in churches, in different places, including Facebook, people do not respect cowards. No. And that's the problem. Once you become identified as a coward, you lose the momentum of leadership. And that's why it's very important. Like Patrick is standing up. Some certain pastors are standing up, like John MacArthur and others in California and different places. People are standing up. There is Franklin Graham is dealing with these issues, and others are standing up. But in general, I'm telling every individual across America, if you don't stand up, people lose respect for you. And so it's time to stand up, because money is not more important than your dignity, you know?
Right. Well, and not only that, if you don't stand up, it's not like you said, it's not like they're going to be appeased, right? There is a slow movement. They are not going. I mean,
look at the election results from the primaries yesterday. Mm-hmm. On the Democratic side, Cory Bush won, just a far, far left person over an establishment Democrat. You had the
Tlaib reelected.
Reelected or won the primary. You had the crazy St. Louis prosecutor prevailing easily in her primary. On the Republican side, Kris Kobach is a real fighter. He lost to Matthews, who is just one more Mitch McConnell wannabe. And it's just, you kind of go, so one side is getting fighters, and I don't like their fighters, but while our side gets French surrender monkeys. I mean, you know, we get more and more Cory Gardners and less and less Kris Kobachs.
We got Trump.
And you kind of feel like, poor Trump. I mean, he's got everybody's, you know, lives depending upon him winning and prevailing. While Biden announced, beautifully announced today, that he's not going to the convention. He'll accept it from his basement.
Maybe I'll just stay there. Well, Anil, I know you got to go. So, just any final thoughts? And you just do such a great job. I hope we don't flood you too much with too many Facebook friend requests. But Anil,
you can never have too many friends.
That's right.
No, I just want to say thank you to both of you and continuing the fight. I mean, you are an encouragement, both of you. Continue to speak the truth. And to many others, you know, without people standing up, we have no hope. And people need to stand up. And if people do not stand up, and I'm tired of this wording called silent majority. Be a loud majority, you know, and that ends evil, because evil will never appease us, just like you mentioned. And if people don't stand up and talk and deal with issues now, we're going to have much more problems, especially for our children and grandchildren. And just think about what kind of country we're going to leave our children, especially with a national debt that's out of control that can't be paid back and a whole bunch of issues. So please stand up, and thank you so much for what you're doing, both of you. I appreciate it.
All right, Anil, thank you too. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Anil has to go. But I saw, you know, let us open it up for the phones. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, but we'll go ahead and open it up here. If you want to call in, 888 888- 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. If you're on Zoom, go ahead and unmute yourself or bring your camera up and we'll bring you on. And if you want to go on Zoom, just go to zoom.us and the meeting number is 209-576-423. And I saw Karen Catalina saying that Anil is wonderful. You know, hey, Karen, if you want to come on, you called in the other day and we had to get going really quickly. But I know one of the, and Sandra agrees with Anil being wonderful. Everybody agrees Anil is wonderful. Mm-hmm. I think Anil should run for Senate. But Karen, you know, you have, and I give you credit, you were talking long before anyone, well, not anyone else, but long before a lot of people were, about the evil progressiveness of these progressives and that they have an end game. And it's like you said, it's like a religion, a cult. I mean, you've been sounding
that. Well, they're also funded. We were down there Sunday battling it out with the Antifa people. They were all getting paid that day. They all picked up their checks. And you know, there is no money in Colorado for Republicans, none. The only Republican money there is in Colorado for Republicans are as if you're going to be a rhino. You go to the Democrats, you go to the Clinton supporters and say, hey, support my rhino person.
Against the Trump supporter.
Against the Trump supporter. And they're given millions. I mean, it's just amazing.
But there's just so many directions I could go. I guess the reason that I couldn't agree more, because we do talk radio, because we are interested in messages and making an argument. What I hope to do with the work that I do and that you do, I mean, you get to do what you want to do, is to give people the message to make the argument with people who haven't lost their minds yet.
Yeah.
And Anil is really wonderful. And the connection, this whole thing of burning Bibles should validate for everyone that Black Lives Matter and Antifa are Marxist organizations. There's absolutely no connection between George Floyd and churches. In right. fact, none of what's been happening since March of 2020 makes an ounce of sense
right.
unless you plug in the motive. If you plug in the motive,
election glass,
then it all makes sense. Well, and the motive is one world.
Wait, go ahead.
Go ahead.
One world globalist, socialist, communist government, and destroy anyone who stands in the way of that, which is Donald Trump, his supporters, and the state of Israel. That's about it. Soros said so.
Well, go ahead.
You know, I used to go to Nuggets games a long time ago, and can you imagine taking your church group, and they'd announce, hey, we have from the So-and-So Baptist Church, you know, they're saying, bringing them to really a league that hates your religion, that hates your Christianity, and hates your children. I don't know if they're ever going to have audience.
And you know why they hate them? This is the connection that I made a long time ago, that my politics led me to a better understanding of people of faith and why they are such a huge threat to socialist, godless communists. Why? Communists have to put down religion because, just like Hebrew National, we answer to a higher authority,
right.
okay?
Right.
And we will obey the law, but we answer to God, hopefully. And these narcissistic anarchist communists want to be God in their own universe, and they want to be God in yours.
Well,
that's why they have to put down religion.
You're right. And you raise a good point there. It's not just Christianity, right? They're burning Bibles, but there has been, right. and they try to blame this on Trump. And you're like, no, this is not Trump.
Oh, yeah, CNN
causing,
says,
causing you know, a sort of this anti-Jew. I mean, you got the
Jewish
people.
The right wing that's preventing Joe Biden from wanting to debate. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, but you see this attack, as you said, on any strong family-oriented religion.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I have railed. The piece that I have on my website now just got approved to be published in the Western Journal.
Yay.
Last one I did, 56,000.
Wow, really?
The most I ever got. I was so thrilled. This one is called Tell Me What You Fear, and I'll Tell You What You Really Believe. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it'll turn out to be that, but I have railed at many people of faith. I have had, you know, knock down, drag out arguments with rabbis. Why are they rolling over? Why are they hiding under the bed? What is the fear about? These are people, now we don't worship any of our religious leaders, but they should be standing up full bore, because if ever there was a people that ought to understand what tyranny is and what it does, not just to the Jewish people, but to everyone, it should be the Jewish people. And yet, you heard how Anil Mathai mentioned about the beginnings of tyranny, the beginnings of Nazism and brown shirts, and they're hiding. Why? Because we're engaged in a psyop right now.
Yeah.
They're using bullying and intimidation tactics.
Turn it around, though. What they start out with, Karen, is they start out with bullying and intimidation tactics, and then they turn those into regulations, right? And then they turn the regulations into criminal charges and fines.
And since they control the courts, who are not independent.
Yes.
The other thing is, in addition to your church, now they're kind of, your children can't go to school anymore.
Right.
And moreover, if you should send your child to a private tutor or something, you're being racist.
You're being racist, that's right.
And if there's any one charge that has been...
We're being pulled on our liberty. That's what's happening.
Yes.
Everything that smacks of individual liberty, personal responsibility, and individuality is what they must put down. And there isn't anything new under the sun. They're going after churches for a reason.
And
they're going after schools. For a reason.
There was a Colorado Sun had an interesting article, but the slant on the article was it intrigued me. So Denver public schools are closed from now till the year 2030 or something like that, right? And so they did a story about how parents, and it said wealthy, rich parents are talking about creating little pods, which sounds bad. Who would want to be in a pod, right? As opposed to a group, right? They're not groups, they're a pod where they're going to pay a teacher to come teach their kids. Now, I guarantee you the parents who were in that got trashed, and for God forbid, trying to put their kids' interests, up front, right? But they call them wealthy people. And I guarantee you, these are people living, these are not rich people. These are just working parents.
Well, they're wealthy, can hire tutors for themselves.
Right, yeah,
they don't have to be a pod.
They're in a private school that's doing just fine, right? And I looked at that and I'm like, they're trying to shame parents from trying to teach their kids and continue their education.
Anyone and everyone who defies them.
Yes.
And
yes.
Our side has got to get wise and get wise in a hurry, that if you are not liked by these people, you should wear it as a badge of courage.
Right.
Well,
right.
We're not liked.
We're not liked. But that's okay. We like each other.
Well, my website was brought down last week.
Really?
I thought, I'm not that important. Why should they care about little old me? Why? Because one of my posts end up on my website with the frontline physicians.
How dare you quote a doctor? How dare you? Oh, well, you should see what the stuff I put in. I try to boost on Facebook, and it's innocuous, and they'll be like, doesn't meet our community standards. I'm like, what?
Yeah, your community standards.
But you know what? That's one of the things, and to all of the folks who listen to us and watch our YouTube and listen to our podcast, I cannot thank you enough. Because one of the things I think we want to do here in Karen that you're trying to do and we're all a part of is create a community ourselves where
right.
you can
yes.
stand up here and you can be safe and you can say, I don't care if somebody who listens to NPR doesn't want to listen to me.
What if they give you a dirty look? So what if they don't like you? You know?
Right. Exactly.
And we have to get to that point.
And that now, so just because we'll let you go now, and I so appreciate you popping in, but your website, I'm assuming, is back up now.
Hopefully.
And so where can people go to the censored website?
And I have a shameless plug, too.
Go ahead.
www.karencataline.com. Yes, my first name is a punchline.
It's a swear word.
That's all right.
My last name is Katalline.
Okay.
Next week, I'm doing 14 hours of radio.
Whoa!
Hey.
I'm filling in for, the Keith Hansen Show, Tuesday through Friday in Nashua, New Hampshire.
I'm doing a
national show all week long. And we get to have all kinds of cool guests. And then I do Spouting Off on Fridays.
Fridays at noon.
So... thank you guys always. And I agree with you. We need a community and we need to build each other up.
Yes, absolutely.
Encourage. Not everybody can do everything, but everyone can do something.
There you go.
Karen, you're great. Thank you so much.
Take care, Karen.
Check it out. You can listen to all of our shows. Just go to KarenCataline.com, and that'll take you everywhere you need to go. 888-627-6008 is the number to call in. 888-627-6008. Back to an earlier comment from Sandra. She was saying, you know, Obama said one world order, don't forget. And there's some truth to that. Hey, want to play
just... Obama is interesting because his eulogy... at John Lewis.
His campaign speech at the funeral.
Was widely criticized. So it's the first time I've heard Obama ever speak, and people go, wait a minute.
Yeah. Criticized on both sides?
Even
conservatives were criticizing.
Yeah, yeah. Even a few brave conservatives were not willing to say, you know, as Fox did its 5,000 hours on John Lewis, who wouldn't go to the funeral of the president, but they're happy to criticize him, called him an illegitimate president, but Axios and everybody else is saying, how could you not show up for Lewis's funeral? Unbelievable.
It is crazy. Well, here's a reason, though. We're going to play a video here in a second.
Oh, this is beautiful.
That'll show you a reason why Obama is having to step it up, and that's because the actual presidential candidate for the Democrats is not, shall we say, I think operating in all cylinders.
One cylinder.
So Thomas, if you could go ahead and play the Joe Biden calls the reporter a junkie sound clip. This is pretty funny.
Have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not. What do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say to President Trump, who brags about his test and makes your mental state an issue for voters?
Well, if he can't figure out the difference between an elephant and a lion, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Did you watch that? Look, come on, man. I know you're trying to goad me, but I mean, I'm so forward looking to have an opportunity to sit with the president or stand with the president in debates. There's going to be plenty of time. And by the way, as I joke with him, you know, I shouldn't say it. I'm going to say something I probably shouldn't say. Anyway, I am very willing to let the American public judge my physical, mental, my physical as well as my mental fitness.
All right.
There you go. Can't say mental fitness.
Well, wow. Let's take a look at that. It's like, number one.
Wow.
Number one, this is a CBS reporter. So the CBS reporter, I think, was personally trying to help him, right? Well, he was trying to tee it up for Biden to take a shot at Trump.
Well, Biden forgot that 2 weeks ago he said he was taking cognitive tests all the time.
Right, right. And so then what a weird comparison to say, like, if you were to take cocaine before we come in here, it's like, what are you, a junkie? It's like, what? And then he says, what is he? Can't tell the difference between an elephant and a lion? And you're like, what?
I think he meant elephant and a donkey, but maybe
I don't
not.
Even
who
know
knows?
What. Well, who knows what he meant there? Clearly. And then I think it's interesting. I look forward to doing a debate. Well, Trump just asked
about mental facilities because he can't pronounce the word facilities.
But the Trump campaign is smart because they had Jill Biden yesterday saying, oh, no, he'll be there for the debates, right? You had Joe Biden today saying, no, I'll be there for the debates. The Trump campaign said, hey, we want to have a debate in September, okay? Let's add some more debates.
Yeah.
And I think that's smart on their part, pushing that, Biden, I guarantee you saw that. Is Biden going to debate, do you think, for 1 second?
Well, you know, we have plenty of time after November 7th or
3rd. Here's what the debate's going to look like. This is my prediction. So it's going to be a Zoom debate, and there's going to be Trump, the real Trump here,
right.
And then there's going to be like Joe Biden wearing like a Joe Biden fake skull, so it looks like she's balding. You know, they're going to go, because all the Halloween stores are open now, right?
Right,
they're going to go
get
like a Joe Biden costume, and they'll put somebody else in there. If for no other reason than that, I think it's clear we cannot elect Joe Biden. Sounds like he's narrowed, and either one of these would be good, I think, to run against the vice president pick, Kamala Harris, Susan Rice.
Yeah, I mean, you know, two kind of notorious, dishonest people. Kamala Harris is hiding, which shows she's a front runner, and Susan Rice is out there. So there could be worse, I guess, candidates on their behalf, but there's so much more on the ball than it's very It's one thing to have Trump going around the country giving speeches, but if Biden is in the basement and his vice presidential candidate is going around the country speaking, I mean, it's even more disgraceful.
Well, you know, I think you're right. I think sometimes, you know, I guess the school of thought is the vice presidential candidate matters only for about like 3 days. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then it doesn't matter at all. Although I think it's fair to say that Sarah Palin, I remember back then before I evolved, I hated Sarah Palin. I think the vice presidential candidate can hurt to a certain extent, right? Now, and I don't know how you look at how progressive, Chuck, given like yesterday's primaries in different states, how progressive the Democrats have gone.
Yes.
I mean, Kamala Harris has a lot of issues, right? She was a prosecutor,
right.
Put
and
people in jail for marijuana.
Well,
right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Well, there's some sand to everyone. I'm curious, why aren't they all the come on, man, Democrats jumping up and down about having Biden as their candidate? I don't understand it. This guy's a moron that is underhanded workings going on. I think that's right.
Sandra, you're absolutely right. And I can tell you exactly what it was. We had the fortune of having Democrat strategist Ted Trimpa on our show right as the day after, like, everybody dropped out of the Democrat primary, right? And all of a sudden, Bernie Sanders was leading, and maybe it was Elizabeth Warren. And Joe Biden, I think there was somewhat of a consensus, wasn't even going to make it, right? And then all of a sudden, boom, that day, everybody drops out, and Joe Biden is the only man standing. And so we said to Ted, you know, what happened there? And he knows. He said, I can tell you what happened because I have inside knowledge about what happened.
Because I was there.
Because I was there. He said, all of the money boys in the Democrat Party, they don't want socialism, right? They just want to get rid of Trump so they continue all of their money-making, open borders, insider trading schemes. And, I mean, look to Joe Biden and Burisma for no further. And
Hunter Biden.
Yeah. Well, Joe and Hunter. But he said, you know, they did not want Bernie Sanders. They did not want Elizabeth Warren. They didn't want this progressive arm. And so they basically, all of the donors called the other donor friends and said, we're pulling our money from those guys and everybody's putting their money behind Biden. So it absolutely was an insider thing. I think perhaps, I don't know if they regret it. Maybe not. I mean,
well, if you want to give us a call on who you think would be, however you want to define this, the better Democratic vice presidential candidate, Kamala Harris or Susan Rice, give us a call at 888-627-6008.
Hey, you want to talk about Synergenics for a second?
I do, because this. There's no better time, there's no more important time to get your health as best you can. This COVID is not going away. And you don't want to be an at-risk group. You want to be the ones who can just walk out and kind of go fine.
Well, and even there's flu, there's cold.
There's a thousand other things
pink
out
eye.
There.
To, pink eye.
Might get that
I'm sorry, that was a bad example.
But Synergetics does that for you. It tests everything for you, every level in you, hormones, vitamins, everything else, and determines what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are. They make sure the strengths continue, make the weaknesses come back up, and regularly test you. Call Julie McCallum. She's an incredible person. She can be reached at 720-387-3681 and get yourself to be the best you can possibly be. That's 720-387-3681 and Synergenics, Cenegenics. You'll be glad you did.
Hey, and tell him Chuck and Julie sent you.
Tell him Chuck and Julie
by the way. Hey, you know, one other thing too I want to talk about, because I have mixed feelings, and Chuck, we haven't talked about this, so I'll get your opinion.
Okay.
Donald Trump on the mask thing. Donald Trump has, I don't want to really call it an about face because he was kind of vague. All right. Anyway, Donald Trump is now tweeting and saying patriots. I mean, I even got an email from Donald Trump, not personally, but, you know, one of those. Said, yeah, there's Julie. But saying, you know, hey, patriots, it's okay to wear a mask. It can't hurt. What do you think on that?
Polling show that 80% of Americans approve. I mean, a long time ago, I think, you know, what difference would we wear a mask? We open everything up, get the economy started. Little did I know that the mask was going to be imposed on everyone. And Karen Cataline was great about this, but we didn't open anything up.
No.
And so wearing a mask has nothing to do with it. It's just a way of socially stigmatizing you as a sheep. And I think Donald Trump looked at the ratings of 80% and said, I'm not going to win that battle. And so he gave up on it. And I guess I was running a campaign and saw a poll that said 80% want mask coverings. Maybe I'd fight a different fight. It's too bad because I really, you know, we have all these people with masks, and there's one great, maybe we'll play it next time on our video where these people come up to couple guys are just on the side talking and starts screaming at him. The woman throws coffee in his face and he just decks out the guy.
For not wearing a mask?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's insanity. I agree with you on that. There was a time, well, and not only do I agree with you, and I'm going to say something. Krista Kafer, who used to be at KNUS and was over at KOA and writes a column for the Denver Post. Goodness knows I don't always agree with Krista Kafer, to put it mildly, but she had a column, I thought, now this is a few weeks back, that put it exactly, Mike, that's exactly how I feel about it. She was like, you know, don't tell me, if you want to tell me to wear a mask, then you got to explain these things to me. And she ticked him off. She said, if I have to wear a mask, how come protesters don't have to wear a mask, right? If I have to wear a mask, then how come we didn't have to wear a mask initially, right? Initially, Fauci says, oh, you don't need a mask. Now we do need a mask.
Well, explains that he was lying to you before because he wanted to make sure that the medical people.
Right. So he was willing to risk all of our deaths. Yeah. I mean, and so that's the problem I have. If they would have simply put it, as the president is trying, except for now it's so politicized, it's kind of late, but to say, hey, look, it's not going to hurt. Just go ahead and wear a mask and we'll get through this together. And meanwhile, like you said, we're going to open restaurants. We're not going to close bars at 10 o'clock. Kids are going to go to school. You can go to the grocery store, but be considerate and polite. Wear a mask. It can't hurt. That would have been okay with me.
We're so far beyond that.
Right, yeah. But now it's kind of like you're an evil, you've got blood on your hands, you've got Jared Polis saying that you're a selfish bastard.
There's something about projection.
But there's only are you a selfish bastard if you're a conservative or a Christian or somebody practicing their religion and don't wear a mask. If you're a rioter or a protester, if you're Mayor Hancock marching arm in arm down the street with Black Lives Matter people, not social distancing, not wear masks,
well, did you
okay.
notice what service, religious service was okay? They could travel across state lines and everything else. John Lewis's funeral in Washington,
D.C. Well, exactly.
His funeral's okay.
They can be
there. Yeah, they
can
go there. They can do everything else. But you, if your loved one dies, no. I mean, I'm astonished that Americans are as sheepish as they are.
As they are. Well, the 888-627-6008, what do you think? Or just weigh in if you're on Zoom on the mask issue. That's right, because I agree with you. If you're Trump, you have so many battles to fight.
Right,
And you're like, and this is when I'm not going to win. Right. No. And so, and every time, I'm sure once a day, probably 80 times a day, he had reporters calling him and saying, are you wearing a mask? What do you think about masks? And finally he's like, okay, fine. I'm just going to say, okay, wear a mask and then move on. But I also think that, as you said, the mask, it's a social control thing.
Yes.
It's an engineering of society. And my concern is that it's just a start, right? They're going to successfully stigmatize if you do that.
Yes.
Then they're going to stigmatize you if you don't go to a Black Lives Matter protest. If you go to a police protest, you're racist,
it's illegal.
Right? Everything is, you know, and I think that it is I don't even want to say a slippery slope. I think it's just an icy glacier ride down the bottom of that cliff. And the other thing I think I wish the president would do, if he's going to say that, is I wish he would say, and you know what, on this date, we're going to reassess this whole mask business and we're going to decide whether it's good or not good to wear a mask.
Well, you know, the government, Mississippi mandated masks and, you know, just everybody just falls in line to the Oppengruppenführers of the Democratic Party.
Well, it's ridiculous. For instance, we got our little boy now. Thank goodness they finally opened up so he could play baseball.
Yay.
Right? And it's cute. The boys play baseball. It's kind of funny watching the coaches who try hard to keep the kids 6 feet apart. And so they're all little boys like clustering around saying, is it my turn to bat? Is it my turn to bat? But they do a good job. That we got an email. You didn't know this. We got an email. I should mention, if people don't know listening to us, Chuck and I are married. That's why we don't have to social distance. maybe we should, but at any rate, we got an email.
I think it's in the intro, isn't it?
Oh, there we go. Well, that's if everybody watches that. Saying that if we're going to, you know, so all the parents, we social distance while we sit there, but we got an email saying that everyone, even if they're just watching the game, has to wear a mask. Now, I'm kind of like, yeah, where did that come from, right? Where did that come from? But they said, we know, they didn't quite put it this way. They're like, we know that's stupid, and we know that wasn't what we said initially, but we don't want to get shut down. And so, and that's what they do. I mean, so as a parent, I'm like, okay, am I going to go there and not wear a mask in defiance and get the whole kids, you know, baseball program canceled? It's like, no. But that's like Anil said, you know they're going to have spies there. right? Yeah, you know they're going to have people there trying to say, ha-ha, they're not doing that. Because again, here you've got kids and families out there having fun, having a normal life,
right?
Enjoying themselves, enjoying each other.
Social distance, everybody who's not related is sitting 6 feet away from
But the moms are just talking from a distance, right?
Yeah, but that's not enough for the sick. You know, this is the theme of the program, but I can't believe how supine we are.
Well, that's how they do it, though. They're tricky because what do you do, right? Do you really say, I'm sorry, all of the little boys and girls in our little baseball district, because I want to make a political statement, which I have a right to do. I'm not going to wear a mask and then they're going to close you down. I mean, that's how they get you. And it's difficult to fight that, right? It's difficult to fight every business, like Anil said. They say, if you don't wear a mask, we're going to shut you down.
Well, Dr. Fauci, because he's sitting there for hours saying he's hydrating. I mean, that fraud ought to be.
Well, and that's what Krista Kafer's right? If they had pushed the mask issue differently.
They don't care. It's not about the mask. It's schools. Oh, follow the science. Well, the science is the kids don't give it to each other and they don't give it to the teachers. And if the teachers or the kids get it, they're not going to have anything beyond 99% of the time beyond a common cold. I mean, it's just everything is just, you just think people would kind of, I've had enough of this. I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah, that's why, Jared Polis keeps extending the,
that's a good question. Randy's kind of challenging.
Randy Corcoran, right.
Yeah, you have your remedy with two houses, give a joint resolution to the emergency. So, well, that's not going to happen with a Democratic governor and two Democratic a House and the Senate.
And it's not going to be challenged by a Democrat Attorney General.
Attorney General. So it means that they can just continue this on to God knows when. I mean, it's just
November 4th. There's going to be this miraculous.
Then if you wear a mask, you'll be beaten.
That's right. That's right. Hey, switching gears, we only have a few minutes left. Sally Yates testimony today on the. While all of this is going on, they're still getting slowly but surely to the bottom, eventually, of the whole Russia gate, spy gate thing. We've got about 3 minutes, but you watched some of the testimony.
Well, it was disgusting because the Republicans couldn't really get her, and she's pretty adept at it, but she said, no, I wouldn't have signed the warrants if I knew what I did now. I never knew that it was sponsored by Clinton. Why not? Well, wouldn't you be interested in that? Wouldn't you care? And she said, she was number two at the Department
of Justice.
Number three, her person right below her and a room right next to her was providing all the documents from Steele to the FBI. She didn't know any of that. I'm responsible. The key, I'm responsible, but not culpable.
For an investigation targeting the President of the United States, and I didn't bother to ask.
And of course, the Flynn investigation was absolutely perfect.
Right. And then she didn't remember. Now there was talk about Joe Biden's the one who was announcing, who was suggesting a strategy to get Flynn. She doesn't remember. What'd she say?
I forgot that.
I don't remember Biden saying much of anything there. So
it passed me by.
What a joke. What a joke.
It's the crooks get away. And Republicans are so nice. And it's just infuriating.
Hey, listen, that's going to wrap us up for this Wednesday. Our thanks to Anil Mathai. Our thanks to Thomas, who's running the board for us at BBS.
All the people like Sandra who emailed into us.
Karen Cadeline.
I want
to remind
you
that please follow us at Twitter. It's @ChuckandJulie1. You can go to chuckandjulie.com. That'll take you to all of our podcasts. And if you get yourself to YouTube, it'll link you to YouTube. We'd really love to have you go ahead and subscribe. That really increases our ability to bring some of the stuff.
Thank you for getting us over our Twitter.
Twitter 1000. Keep going.
Don't slow down. And once again, I want to stop, thank the BBS people and also Colorado Citizen Press. Support them. Go on their site. You'll be glad they did. It's an incredible site. The only place you'll get a lot of the stories.
Hey, and you won't want to miss a Party Friday edition. We have a packed show.
It's going to be another Party Friday
another
already.
Another Party Friday
just
already.
Just go so fast. The parties just pile up.
Everybody have a great couple of days.
Take care, everyone.